You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
You hear Moloch's back in town, get your panties all in a bunch. You think catching him matters?
Justice matters.
Justice. Justice is coming to all of us. No matter what the fuck we do. You know, mankind's been trying to kill each other off since the beginning of time. Now, we finally have the power to finish the job. Ain't nothing gonna matter once those nukes start flying, we'll all be dust. That Ozymandias here. Be the smartest man on the cinder.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
Welcome to episode 100. Let's get that mic. Oh, Jesus. So professional. Welcome to episode 153 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, guys? Thank you so much for downloading, for listening, for coming back for more. We appreciate it. This is your first time checking us out. Hello. I'm Chris Crespo. I'm your host. I watch movies, and I write about them, and then we talk about them, and we try to make it all a good time, worthwhile. It's free entertainment for you, so if you don't like it, I mean, you can just take a flying leap, because it's free. We're giving it to you for nothing, and I think it's great. I think what we do is awesome, and you know who helps me make these things awesome? My co-host, Drew Sikogburn. Drew!
I help make things awesome?
You help make the show awesome, dude.
Awesome.
Yes. The Dr. Drew's 2 cents, and the few producing ideas we come up with. Every now and then, there's only been a few of them, but you know what? Most of the time, I've liked them. The graphic design work has all been fantastic. Thank you, sir, for all your contributions. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
But I have nothing to pay you with.
Yeah, one of these days.
One of these days.
One of these days, I might make a couple pennies.
You might make a couple pennies, or you might just walk off. And you know what? Dalton Trumbo wouldn't blame you.
No, he wouldn't, because I'm not getting paid, damn it.
No, he would not, but neither is the boss. So, yeah. Someone's making money off this, goddammit. Gotta find out who that is. It's not us. Episode 153 is brought to you by latestfilmtrailers.net. Go to latestfilmtrailers.net. Check out the new trailers for, there's a Superman, Batman vs. Superman, : Dawn of Just Ice trailer, which they showed the trailer for in front of that whale movie.
Yeah, they did.
I thought it was going to be in front of Star Wars, but they couldn't wait. They're like, no. The whale people are going to want to see this trailer too. You can go there.
Nobody wanted to see the whale movie, Chris.
Apparently not. You can also check out the trailers for all the Star Wars trailers, all the Star Wars TV commercials. They released something like 6 minutes worth of footage. They've compiled. The nerds have figured it out. So check it out. Latestfilmtrailers.net. Thank you guys for sponsoring the show. We appreciate it. Drew Sikogburn, I'll explain to you later how we got a sponsor for the show, but we're not making any pennies yet. So
yeah, you already talked to me about that. I understand.
Oh, we did? Did we talk about that one? We had
the discussion.
Latestfilmtrailers.net. We have with us a first-time guest. We're excited about this. Connected to the Curtis Earth Show. So glad to have him here. He is a radio broadcaster. He is a trivia host and master. And, Drew, he is a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm. So he says.
So excited. So he says, indeed.
So he says.
Simon says, ladies and gentlemen, Simon Time is here. Simon, woo! How you doing?
I am beyond excited to be here. I feel like a kid in a candy store right now.
Yes, this is welcome. Welcome to your new... third home, fourth home. Your home is the road, isn't it, as a wrestler?
Yeah.
Road. Yeah, the road. One big dream wrapped in asphalt.
Yeah. Yeah,
one rolling bag away from stardom.
It's a hard mistress, that road. It is, but it can be worth it.
It is, man.
For some people. People do it for some reason. Stand-up comics, professional wrestlers. Who else?
And you guys.
And musicians.
You talked about no pennies. You do it for the love of the game.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, but we're not going anywhere, though. We're doing it from the comfort of home. That's for sure.
But I tell you what, man. I respect the hustle, and I respect the passion that you guys have. I'm a big fan of the show.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
and,
it.
I got lost getting here because I was listening to the Rocky podcast, and I loved it, man.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Like, yeah, that was a fun one to do. Thank you so much.
I don't get starstruck often, but you guys really, thank you very much for having me on. And looking around this room, I feel like it's an extension of my personality. You got Family Guy stuff and
you're feeling it?
And The Simpsons. Yeah. And man, I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, the Christmas display over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, man. This is awesome. Badass.
The Christmas display.
The Christmas. It's Christmas. It's that wonderful time of year. Are you hearing a knocking sound in your engine, in your car? Is there...
Oh, that's your Christmas present.
That's your Christmas
it's
present.
It's just waiting for you.
Was that bill a little higher than you expected it to be this December?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas.
It's that time of year.
Oh, did you break a bone at the holiday party?
No.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, jeez.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
It's so awful.
I feel it. I feel it. And Dr. Drew, you know, I have a segment on my trivia show called Simon's 2 Cents. Uh-huh. So I feel like there's a very cool vibe that's going on here, man.
Yeah, between the two of you guys, if I throw in another penny, that's a whole nickel.
That's a whole nickel.
That's a nickel's worth of free advice, ladies and gentlemen, that you can get right here. Awesome. Well, Simon, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. We have a lot to talk about, a lot to do. And of course, as listeners of our show know, we start each show with the Netflix Instant Pick in a Week, which means we gotta play the theme song, which is, which button is it? Oh, here we go. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Here we go. Juicy Cogburn is verifying the Crespo Diesel Randomizer 9000. You can check every week's Netflix Pick of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Last week was Jet Li's Fist of Legend. So
yes,
good.
It was.
Such a good pick.
It was a Fist of Legend.
I enjoyed rewatching scenes from that after talking about it on the show. I was like, I gotta watch some of this. Simon, please tell everyone this week, what is our Netflix pick?
You know, I get into very heated movie discussions on a daily basis with my trivia shows and stuff. And I just finished one last Sunday about this movie, Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy. Nice. Awesome.
It's a good one.
Because I've never seen it.
Oh,
and really? But I can quote it. Like, that's so weird.
Yeah.
It's got some of those lines. Yeah.
And it's got, what's her name? Doris from Everybody Loves Raymond.
The old lady, as the grandma.
As grandma.
As grandma.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And her two roommates.
I found some of your tea.
The tea. Grandma's Boy. Grandma's Boy, when it came out for me, it felt like a birthday present. Because it was,
it was a stoner comedy.
It's a stupid stoner comedy
about an adult who lives with his grandma. At the time.
At the time.
You did.
I was a grandma.
You were a grandma's boy.
I was my grandma's boy. I was a grandma's boy at the time. I was like, here's a movie about a grandma's boy. And it came out like within 5 days of my birthday because they put it out in the middle of January. So I'm like,
nice.
Yeah. And I like it. I like it quite a bit. It's a fun movie. It's a very ridiculous movie. It's what's Adam Sandler's production company?
Happy Madison.
Right. So it's one of his cheapos, and he got like...
He got all the regulars.
He got all his regulars to do it, and they all did it for, you know, super cheap, because the person who wrote it and directed it was like one of his... Someone that's like a crew member who worked on a bunch of his productions, and it was someone he was given a hand. Oh, you want to make this movie? We'll give you a couple $1 million, and we can make it under my production... My production shingle, as they call it, and all that. So it was Adam Sandler giving one of his buddies a little bit of help there.
I'll tell you what, man. A lot of props to him for helping out his pals.
He does that a lot.
And, I mean, maybe he should do it more often because it's one of the better Happy Madison productions.
I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
Adam Sandler's known for making some pretty awful movies.
Man, people, that Ridiculous Six that they just put out on Netflix, people are hating
it. I heard it was bad.
Yeah, I have not. Should I even bother? Apparently, it is just so
that bad,
so horrible.
Now, I do have a question for you guys, being the authorities and stuff. And I'm, like I said, I'm huge into movies. So
sure.
This is like, this is a bucket list for me to be here with you guys.
Awesome.
People tell me that you have to be under the influence to really enjoy Grandma's Boy.
It helps for sure.
It's because
it is so specific.
When it comes,
the right influence too.
When it comes to this movie, I mean, yes, it's billed as like a low budget comedy, but it's It's also a stoner comedy. I mean, they smoke a lot of weed in this movie.
A lot of the jokes are centered on like
marijuana, stoner and getting
culture,
high,
marijuana culture. But
would a non-stoner still be able to appreciate it on the same level?
I think so. If you're into that kind of comedy, and by that I mean it gets a little weird and surreal.
His drug dealer's got a tiger and some weird shaman that hangs out all the time.
The shaman, yeah. Doctor, oh, what's his name?
Whatever the fuck his name
was.
Yeah,
that's an awesome name. Yeah, he just hangs out with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're the type of person that isn't into being, into marijuana or all that stuff, but you still like a Cheech and Chong movie.
Ah, okay.
You know, like when I was a kid, I watched the hell out of Up in Smoke. I ain't,
you had no idea.
I didn't smoke no weed. I knew it was like the funny cigarettes, you know, like it didn't matter. It was still, I found that still to be a funny movie. So I think Grandma's Boy is the same way. But like I said, when I watched the movie, I was a grandma's boy. I was like, I'm a grandma's boy. You know, this
you
is
are.
Me. I was playing a lot more video games back then. Yeah. There's the guy works at a video game company.
He's a video game designer.
Jonah Hill is in it in a small role. He spends half of his screen time sucking on a titty.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
isn't funny. There a race car bed? Who my roommates are getting?
Yeah, that's Nick Swartzen.
Yeah, Nick Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen's hysterical in this movie. Yeah. He's totally like Arrested Development type of dude. He's in his 20s, but he's a fucking child. It's like, my roommates. And he's like, you mean your parents?
Your parents.
He's like, shut up. I wake up my roommates. It's funny. I think I really like it.
That's awesome.
I really like it. And it's the only movie ever, I think, where Alan Covert is the lead. The guy who in every other Adam Sandler movie,
he's like the fifth or sixth wheel.
Yeah. He's all the way down the cast list.
Wasn't he in Happy Gilmore?
He's the caddy.
Yeah, he's the caddy in Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
So and that's probably the homeless caddy. That's probably the most you've ever seen of him in an.
Oh yeah, he's one of the main football players in Waterboy.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
In Mr. Deeds, he's like the kind of romantic rival sort of for Winona Ryder.
Yeah,
you know, and he gets like he's in a part of the beginning of the movie, and then you don't see him for much later. Alan Covert. I like the guy. I like that. He's like a poor man's. He's like an extra poor man. He's like a food stamp man version of Mel Gibson. He's
okay.
Like that's how far down that he is.
Yes, he is.
But still, in that strata.
He's the well-endowed best friend in Anger Management, isn't he?
Is he? I didn't see Anger Management.
Yeah.
Is he? I would not be surprised. So. Yeah, because he's in all of them. He's in all of them. And then Steve Buscemi shows up with extra crazy eye makeup in all those movies. Anyway. Grandma's Boy, I love it. Good pick. Drew, box office recap time.
Yes, sir.
You got some numbers?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got over here?
Starting off at number 14.
Number 14. We're starting top five at number 14.
It made $810,000, Chris.
$810,000?
For a grand total of $5.4 million.
And we are talking about
Trumbo.
Trumbo. Yes, Trumbo. I would expect that to be a low in the gross. How many theaters was it in this weekend?
554.
So only 500 theaters this weekend. That's why people are like, Trumbo, what the hell is Trumbo? Trumbo, you'll see some stuff about this around Oscar time, right? Because it's getting some critics awards right now for all the acting.
Yeah.
It's about writer Dalton Trumbo, screenwriter, novelist, who he got caught up in the Red Scare of the 50s and 60s and got blacklisted. Him and the Hollywood 10, all these writers and actors and producers that got blacklisted from Hollywood because they were like, oh, these guys are communists, they're anti-American, dragged in front of the House of Un-American Acts Committee or whatever.
Goes to prison for contempt of Congress.
Goes to prison for contempt of Congress for not, you know, for not
and then
naming names and
comes
shit.
Out, stays blacklisted and
writes. Stays black, brother.
and writes two Academy Award winning films under different names?
Yes. I mean, Dalton Trumbo had an amazing story.
It's a biopic?
Yeah, it's a biopic.
Oh, nice.
And spoiler alert, it's historically accurate.
It's historically accurate, very historically accurate. And so it touches on a lot of real stuff that happens in Hollywood in the 50s and 60s. So if you're into movies generally and the history of movies, it's very interesting right there. If you're into censorship, the idea of that and fighting censorship, that has a really cool angle going on there.
Or if you just like Bryan Cranston.
Or if you just like Bryan Cranston, because he's Dalton Trumbo.
Fucking amazing.
Oh, wow.
And he's great.
I've never heard of it.
He's really good. Well,
yeah,
it's a small little movie.
It's a small little character film. It's comedy, real life drama. But like I said, it's winning a lot of awards for acting right now. A lot of because it's I mean it's top to bottom great actors,
yeah.
And they're all doing great work.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is it Bryan Cranston, there's Michael Stuhlbarg, Helen Mirren.
One of the few times recently I've seen Helen Mirren without a gun in her hand,
without a gun or her English accent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's just playing a mean old media scaremonger. Horrible person. What a horrible person. But she's so good doing it.
They all were.
Because she's Helen Mirren. Oh, yeah.
Even the Duke was a bastard, apparently.
The Duke? Oh, yeah. The Duke was a bastard.
He was a fuck.
John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
John Wayne was good.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
It's got some love on the internet, too. 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, sure. Right? Because it's good. It's a very, very good story. Very good story. Great actors. All doing great work. The only thing I would knock it for, though, is direction-wise... It was like a couple of steps above made for TV.
You know,
it was very flat, unimaginative in the way they put things together. And then the way some of it was, I mean, just the way it looked, the lighting and the staging of it, it just looked, you know, like they didn't put that much effort into the way everything looked. They were just like trying to tell the story in the best way possible for their purposes. And it worked. I mean, the story still comes through.
But they skimped on presentation?
I think so. I feel like that. I compare something to like a David Fincher movie where it's, you know, the production design is done to within an inch of its life. His movies have a certain look to them. Steven Soderbergh movies, you know, he goes the extra mile into making things look and feel a certain way. This one just felt like like a soap opera.
This Jay Roach guy doesn't give a fuck, apparently.
The director is Jay Roach. Drew just said Jay Roach made his money in the comedy world. Jay Roach directed the Austin Powers movies. He directed Meet the Fockers. He made a shit ton of money making those comedies. But all of his movies look like that. In the comedy world, it's very rare when you get some like funny people, where funny people look like a movie. You know, like it was a gorgeous film, but it's still a comedy. Most comedies, it's just bright lighting. Everyone, it's more about the jokes. Make sure everything is funny. It's a comedy. It doesn't matter how good it looks. If it's not funny, no one cares. So that always goes to the wayside. Very rare to someone like Todd Phillips, the Hangover movies.
Okay.
He goes the extra mile on the Hangover movies to make them look like movies.
And gritty instead of like...
While still paying attention to the comedy. Jay Roach is not that guy. Jay Roach is... I have Michael Myers in a fucking... with fake British teeth. What else do I need? You want me to light this? Put the spotlight on him. Roll cameras. He's going to start talking... And the laughs are going to bring in the dollars, which they did.
Where would you put the Farrelly brothers on there in that list, Chris?
They're definitely like on the Jay Roach side, where they're more like just point the camera. Everything's natural lighting, flat lighting. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but that does go towards making people think that comedy is a lesser genre than drama, which it's not. It doesn't have to be. Comedy in some ways is harder than drama, you know? So there's no reason why you can't go the extra mile and also make your comedy look great, like Birdman.
Yeah, Birdman was awesome.
Birdman's fantastic.
And funny.
And it was, especially for the director, it was his version of a comedy because his other movies are so bleak.
Yeah, well...
Babel with 21 Grams.
Mr. Inarritu has a specific worldview.
Apparently he did. But Birdman, he lightened up just a bit and made a movie about a psychotic...
Yes.
And,
but it was really funny, though.
He's like, this is my comedy. Like,
all right, I laughed.
Okay, we get it. Man's having a nervous breakdown. You think it's funny. We get it.
Correct.
So I feel like if Judd Apatow did this movie, like the way he did Funny People, or, Todd Phillips again, the Hangover guy, I think that would have gone the extra mile to making this like a real... like, oh shit, almost a modern classic type of movie.
Like a home run, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But instead of a home run, it's more, for me, it's like a triple. Ah. It's like it's a solid hit. It's solid. It's good. I recommend it. But I feel like it did leave something on the table a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. What about you, Drew? Did you feel that way at all? Or were you just into it? Were you fine with it?
I was into it. I guess I just wasn't paying that much attention to do the lighting and the staging.
It just, for some reason, it jumped out at me. Yeah. It didn't. But I was like, halfway part through the movie, I was like, this looks a little Hallmarky. Felt weird. But you recommend it, though?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally? Definitely. 100%.
All right, there you go. Drew's a Cogburn.
See it.
Triple thumbs up from Drew's a Cogburn.
Coming in number 5 this week.
We can't do two thumbs because, Roger Ebert, copyright that shit.
Coming in number 5 this week.
Actually, do they copyright thumbs in general? We may not even be able to refer to thumbs.
Appendages.
No thumbs?
Yeah.
Digits.
Two fingers up. Here we go, Drew. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting. Go ahead.
Number five, Krampus.
Oh, we're back to number five. Okay. Number five, Krampus. I saw this last week.
It made $8 million, total 28.
$8 million in the second weekend?
Yep.
Not bad. I mean, it was a cheap movie. What was it? Like a $14 million budget or something? Like
that? 15.
15, right. It's a cheap movie. It's fun.
Is it a horror movie?
It's a horror movie. It's a horror comedy because it's sort of a family comedy. It's like if they took a horror film with, like, you know, creature monster type thing, and they took your typical Christmas dysfunctional family comedy type of movie, and then they put those two together.
So, like, Gremlins meets, like, Meet the Fockers or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 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 exactly. Or, what's it with the Family Stone meets, like, Critters. You know, something that's little creatures, right? Although they're not all little creatures, I should say. There's some bigger monsters in there. I really like the special effects. I thought it was pretty cool. Most of the effects were definitely practical looking. Like, they looked like, whoa, that looks creepy. And then even some of the digital stuff looked good. There was one effect that they did. They had little gingerbread men running around. There's like three of them. And they're digital. And you can tell they're digital, yeah. 100%. But everything else looked, I was like, this is some solid looking stuff.
But there's kills in it and stuff?
There are kills. It's a weird movie. Because it's kind of, imagine it's kind of like a fairy tale type thing. That's the way they presented it. They made an allusion to A Christmas Carol right up front with being visited by evil spirits.
Oh.
So there are characters get taken. You don't see the kills, but they're all assumed to be dead. And then the movie has a weird twist ending that I'd have to. It's even a tough one to spoil because it's kind of weird. It's a weird ending that's open to interpretation.
Okay,
but I think it's cool. I enjoyed it. Matt from SBK Live hit me up on Twitter, asked me what I thought of Krampus. I told him I thought it was good, and he was like, I could barely get through it. And then he gave me emoji, thumbs down, digit down. I was like, damn, Cabin, you hit me up on Twitter just to tell me you didn't like this movie, bro. I like it. I thought it was cool. It's also a PG-13 movie.
Okay. See, that's what I was wondering about. I didn't know if it was like a kid's movie or a real horror movie.
It's definitely teenagers can watch no problem. Even you're more hardcore, like 10, 11-year-olds, who watch some of those movies on the side. They could get through it because there's no gore. There's only one shot in the whole movie where there's any like blood or whatever, and it's pretty quick. Otherwise, like I said, you don't see a lot of their fates. It's that type of thing.
See, I'm a huge scaredy cat, so that's why I had to ask.
Yeah. Sure. It definitely builds attention well.
Huh.
I think you'll be, if you're into the horror movies, I think you'd be into the mood of it, the way it builds very slowly up until the first reveal of Krampus. And then the first thing we see Krampus, you're like, oh shit, that's a creepy looking image, you know? And then at the end, they show you Krampus up close, like his face and stuff. And it's, yeah, it's like ooh, I wouldn't want to be face to face with this giant thing.
I have to see this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. I enjoyed it. $8 million on a second weekend is pretty good too. Not bad for those guys. Don't expect to see Krampus 2, though, unless it's direct to video.
Coming in at number four this week.
Number four.
Creed had a weekend gross of $10.1 million, total of $79.
$79 million total? Yeah, might make it to over 100. I hope it does. It's going to be awesome. Tough after the movie coming out this weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it's all bets are off after this weekend.
Yeah, nothing's going to be making money after that.
Not even the movies that come out afterwards that are supposed to be really good.
Yeah. They're all going to get sucked into a wake.
Yep.
Like, it's going to be so sad. But Creed is good. We like Simon mentioned, we did the Rocky bonus episode a few days ago. Check that out.
Outstanding.
That was really cool. Thank you, sir. Creed is a great movie. Drew reviewed it last week.
Yes.
And I reviewed it the week before.
Uh-huh.
So if you haven't listened to any of that stuff, you gotta go back and listen to all that shit, yo.
Coming in number three this week.
And go see Creed.
A movie that we might not ever see at this point in time. Pixar's The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, man.
Coming in with $10.5 million total at $89.6
total. It might barely make it. It might just make it over $100 million. This is going to be Pixar's, financially, their worst film since A Bug's Life? Yeah, they did A Bug's Life, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one, DreamWorks did Ants.
Yeah.
So weird how they put those two out at the same time. Fucking weirdos. And you know what? It's also maybe their worst reviewed movie since Cars 2,
ooh.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, didn't give it any time for Inside Out to breathe before they...
Yeah.
I read somewhere online that someone was like, you know, maybe they threw it out there at the end of this year, knowing that with Inside Out coming out, Inside Out could kind of just like kind of push it away. People won't even remember. They only remember Good Dinosaur that came out that year.
Yeah, because Inside Out
came out. Good. So it won't be like a failure year for Pixar because they also put out Inside Out. If they had separated them and did just Good Dinosaur next year,
oh, then
people were like, ooh, 2016, that was a bad year for Pixar because they put out that movie. That wasn't so good. It didn't make that much money. I still want to see it, though.
Well, it's Pixar.
It's Pixar.
They haven't had a bad film, in my opinion.
I like all the ones that I've seen, I've liked.
Correct.
I haven't seen Cars 2.
I haven't seen any of the Cars movies.
Or Cars. Or...
I'm dreading the Toy Story 4, though. That's...
I know, man. Ugh. But you know what? I thought the same thing with 3. I was like, why are they doing 3? Like, I don't need a Toy
Story
3.
Why? Because they have to get themselves ready to die.
Yeah. Apparently the toys had prepared to die in that movie. Oh, and it ended up being really good. I was like, what? They're gonna burn them alive?
Yes.
And they're just like holding hands?
Yes.
And
well, they had...
That was tough.
They came to terms with their existence, Chris.
They did.
Like, Drew hit it right on the head. Yeah. That's,
like, this is some heavy shit for some 8-year-olds,
man. The mortality of the toys.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, where are they gonna go with 4? We talked about on the show that I think they're gonna do... I read that they're going a romantic comedy route with... It's Woody looking for a little Bo Peep who disappeared between Toy Story 2 and 3.
Yes.
We just got to trust them. They gave us 3 good ones. Yeah. We got to trust them, right? You would think, and they know that Toy Story is their like flagship one.
Yeah.
Do they want to soil that? You know, do they want a Pirates of the Caribbean situation on their hands? Where the first one, everyone loved it. And by the fourth one came out, people are like, please stop making it.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
And they're making a fifth one. They're making it right now.
Coming in at number 2.
Making it right now. We'll see Good Dinosaur one day.
In the Heart of the Sea. We can gross up 11 million. Seems total.
11 million? No. How many screens?
3,103.
That's no one wanted to see this whale movie. Yeah. I went and saw the whale movie. I went and saw Thor versus Whale.
Did you?
Yep.
And?
It was okay.
Thor v. Whale.
I saw Thor v. Whale. It's actually Thor teaming up with Scarecrow. And the new Spider-Man.
Ah, okay. Whoa. And they're all taking on the white whale.
And they're all taking on the white whale.
Now, see, here's my thing. What is with Thor and like these weird prestige pieces? Like, he did a Ron Howard film. Well, he I mean, this is fucking Steven Spielberg.
He's done two Ron... No, this is Ron Howard.
This is another Ron Howard.
I think Spielberg... Did he produce it? He may have produced it. He might have. It's Ron Howard, though. It's the second Ron Howard movie in a row. Yeah,
what's with him doing Ron Howard films?
I think they like each other. I think they just like each other.
You think Ron Howard's got like a hard on for him? Is that what's going on?
Maybe he's like,
Thor.
It's like, I wish I was this good looking. I was never a good looking guy.
No,
but as I got older, I've gotten worse and worse. This Chris Hemsworth. Everyone likes Chris Hemsworth.
No.
He's actually a pretty good actor. I think I like him.
He's not awful.
I don't think he's bad at all. I thought he was good in this. I was appreciating what he was doing, and it's good. It's a good movie. And the whole concept of this movie, it's the story, true story of the Essex, which up until the Titanic sank, it was like the Titanic.
Yes.
Of, you know, everyone knew about the story of the Essex, which was a whaling expedition, went out deep, deep into the water looking for whales. It crashed, and only a handful of people survived. And I think, obviously, since there were survivors, is what made this story. So, like, oh shit, because it's an epic story of survival. But the framing device is that Ben Whishaw, the guy who plays Q in the new Bond movies, and he was in the Cloud Atlas, he's Herman Melville, and he shows up to old Brendan Gleeson's house, and he's like, tell me the story of the Essex so I can turn it into Moby Dick. And he's like, I've never told anyone that story. He's like, here's some money. He's like, well,
okay.
It was a dark and stormy night. And he tells him the whole story. And it's actually good. I actually think my favorite parts are the Herman Melville and the old Spider-Man, because he's
sweet.
Because the kid who plays Spider-Man in the movie, it's like his first. It's his first expedition ever, and he's on this doomed voyage.
No.
And then he grows into big old Brendan Gleeson.
Oh, nice! So Spider-Man is just a young Brendan Gleeson,
apparently.
Okay,
but not young Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah,
because that's Domhnall Gleeson.
Exactly.
Domhnall Gleeson not in this movie. I feel like we should mention whenever Domhnall Gleeson is now not in the movie, as opposed to when he is in the movie.
Because he's in so many fucking movies.
He's in fucking everything. I thought it was good. I liked it. I've also mentioned on the show before how I got kind of a weird thing with whales.
Mm-hmm.
Whales freak me out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Whales and snakes.
Snakes is more practical, though. Like, snakes are on land. I'm on land. We're in Florida. Snakes make sense. I'm not in the middle of the ocean. I don't plan on being in the middle of the ocean. So why? But whales scare me. The giant... Huge whales.
Oh,
then especially a whale like this one, a big white whale
that's like aggressive
white whale hitting people with his tail.
We need to take you to SeaWorld.
I've been to SeaWorld. That doesn't do me nothing. I mean, the whale.
So you're like, afraid of regular whales, but not killer whales?
This is the tank. If I was with a killer whale out in the water, yeah, in its home, in its habitat, then I'd be. I wouldn't have time for it to eat me alive because I'd have a heart attack from sitting fright. Ah! And then it's like.
Sink to the bottom.
That'd be me. I scream like a girl and then just.
And then the things that you won't eat will eat you.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
And then you'll eat those things.
Yes, I will.
Because.
They'll be delicious.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch, Juicy Cagburn. So, you know, the whale, like, and then it's the basis of Moby Dick because the story is that they went out to find these whales. And when they did find a whole, you know, swarm of them, like something like really ridiculously close to the equator. There's one whale there, 100-footer, that's a mostly white whale. That's like, when any ships come by, it just destroys the ships. And that's the legend of Moby Dick was how that was born. Like,
fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the whale, the way they portrayed it, it's all scarred up and everything. It looks like it's been doing it for a long time.
No.
Probably, yeah. I like to imagine, I gave a whale a backstory. Like, backstory. Because they didn't give me a whale's backstory, so I made one up for the whale. The whale was out with its wife, uh-huh. its wife whale, yes. and its little calf. Because yes. they roll together, like uh-huh. family units, whales do. I bet you a whaling ship came through, killed that calf, killed the mom.
And he's like, left him for dead somehow.
Yeah, and he eyeballed him, his big eye, looked at him, was like, motherfuckers, I'm gonna remember you. And then he chased them down, and he killed them, and then he devoted the rest of his life to protecting whales. He's a whale superhero. He protects whales.
He's whale man.
He protects the other whales while destroying the pesky humans that are plundering them for the whale oil to power the world. Then at the end of the movie, he's like, hey, I heard that some dude drilled a well in Pennsylvania and found oil out of the ground.
Yep.
Ain't that the damnedest thing? The end. It's like, oh, all right, okay. We'll just make that parallel there about what we do to nature. We get it. Lefty, fucking liberal Hollywood sons of bitch. That's what some people are saying. It's a good message. So I think it's good. I'd say it's worth seeing. Maybe not necessarily in a theater, like HBO, Redbox, something mm-hmm. like that. You know what? Comfort your own home. Yeah.
All right.
All right. There you go.
Seems like a good surround sound movie.
Yeah. Yeah. All those sailing stuff is cool. And it's Ron Howard. He knows what he's doing. He can make a movie. You know, it's not bad at all. Not in the least. All
right. And
maybe just a tad long.
Number one this week.
Number one.
The Hunger Games: Calling Mockingjay.
Really?
Hyphen Part Dose.
Again.
$11.3 million.
Wow.
Total of $244.9 million.
Because it's been like 4 weeks now.
Uh-huh.
Most movies aren't number one 4 weeks after they come out in theaters. That's in part because of the popularity of Hunger Games, and in part because all the other movies, outside maybe The Good Dinosaur and Creed, you wouldn't think would have that much commercial potential.
Spectre? I mean, people aren't going to see that. I mean,
because that came out the same weekend.
One thing I am surprised about is that The Martian is still making a shit ton of money.
What did The Martian make?
It came in at number 11 this week with $1.4 million. It's
nice.
It's at 222.
People are still seeing it.
Yeah, people are still seeing The Martian.
And you know what's going to happen.
It's been out for 11 weeks.
It's going to get nominated. It's going to win a bunch of awards. Critic awards come up in December now. We're now in December. Next month, they're going to announce the Oscar nominees.
And they'll keep playing it.
And then they're going to put it back out, like re-release 1,000 screens with commercials. Oscar Academy nominated The Martian.
Yeah, brand new. Yep. You know, after you reviewed it on the Curtis Earth show that Thursday, I did my trivia quiz at the Copper Rocket and brought it up and brought your name up and stuff.
Nice.
And this drunk lady at the bar, this is a completely true story, dude. She goes, Simon, how much of that movie do you think is actually true? I had no words for her. I'm just going to slowly turn my music all the way up.
All
right.
Thank you for coming out, lady. We appreciate it. You should have said all of it. They sent Matt Damon to Mars, and we saved him. Don't you remember the story? It was in all the news, on the news outlets. We don't even know why we sent Matt Damon to Mars to begin with, but we did it.
Because he's Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
Poor guy. What did he do to deserve that?
I don't know, but it's fucking hilarious.
he pissed someone off. Good man. Good for Hunger Games. Making a shit ton of money. Going out on top. It's an okay movie if you like The Hunger Games. You like The Hunger Games?
Mm-mm.
Not really?
Not a fan.
Yeah, but they don't even bother with the fourth one.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of more of the same. It's just closure.
Oh,
God. You know, so you get your closure. I was moderately into them, so I was like, I guess I'll see this last
Did you read the books?
No.
Okay, yeah. See, I'm not.
No. I got things to do.
Yeah. I was elected to lead, not to read.
All right, so that's your box office recap for the week. New movies coming out on DVD. We have Fantastic Four finally coming out on DVD. Everyone can see what all that hubbub was all about. It is a train wreck of a movie. There are things, that's a problem. It's like there are things inside that movie. You're like, oh, this could have been a good movie.
I thought the movie was actually good until we got like 66% through with it.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, get about two thirds way through
it. And then it just falls apart.
It falls off.
They just need to stop telling the backstory. We know what the hell the Fantastic Four is about.
Like, yeah, but it was a different backstory though, and it was good.
Yeah, that ended up being the interesting part. And then they rushed the
everything else.
All the villain stuff, they rushed it. And it's like, why is all this stuff happening? This is such escalation of events here so quickly. It's like, it's going slow. It's a nice slow pace. Hard science. Talking. I was like, crazy action.
And the movie's over.
What happened? Are we going to see that guy again? Who was that guy?
See, I was urged very strongly to have to see it, but I'm a big villain guy, so I have to ask you guys, did they do Doom justice?
No.
I like the Doom better than the other Doom.
Well, yeah, but still no one's done Dr. Doom right. Well, and I guess that's just because, in all reality...
It's a tough character to pull.
Well, he's just... I mean, he's human.
He's human.
He just happens to be the ruler of a small country in Eastern Europe.
Latveria.
So I mean,
but he also wears a crazy metal mask and a
green cloak. Well, he's got some scarring, and I mean, he was created in the fucking 50s, man. What the hell do you expect?
I expect the 50s style villain who had some scarring and was a human under a metal mask. That's what I expect. Yeah. So what was he? Oh, because they went into... See, but I did like that whole...
Whatever dimension that was.
Yeah, the altered dimension. It's a whole multi-dimensional thing, like the negative zone or whatever. And, you know, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on with that. But that's was how Doom was created somehow by in there. I don't know. It was weird. Ugh. And he was a hacker before that. I don't know.
What? Yeah.
That's an aristocrat from Europe. Oh, okay.
Well, he was. No. He was an aristocrat, but he was a hacker too.
Yeah. Did this country not exist anymore in this?
No, I think it did, because they
reference it.
They reference that he was, you know, independently wealthy and blah 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 blah. Uh-huh.
But when the movie starts, he's living in a room by himself, and he's an isolated hacker guy. He's like Keanu Reeves in The Matrix.
Ah,
yeah, he's like that guy, just moping around.
Give us Doom. Yeah, give us Victor Von Doom. That's all I want.
You didn't get him.
It's not going to happen.
You didn't get him. At this point, yeah, I don't know, dude. They're definitely not making a Fantastic Four 2. That's
no.
For sure. That's not happening. But that's coming out on DVD. Also coming out on DVD, Maze Runner : The Scorch Trials, which is, as we
You'll
know,
never
the sequel.
About the Scorch, Chris.
It's a sequel to Maze Runner : The Maze Runner.
And it's awful.
Yeah, it's not that good. It's not that good. I like The Maze Runner, too. I like
The Maze Runner wasn't bad.
I like the first one. The Scorch Trials was not good. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Excuse me. Mission : Impossible - Rogue Nation. That's so much punctuation in this goddamn title. It's ridiculous. I liked it, though. Are you a Mission Impossible fan?
I am.
Yeah?
I am.
Did you get a chance to see the Rogue Nation?
I saw the first half of it, and then I had to skedaddle. Yeah, but it hooked me. It's one of those things that, like, I stay up late at night thinking about
what happened next.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God.
It's good.
I love it.
Well, now you're going to have your chance this week. You can get on the Redbox or whatever. It's totally worth it.
I was a huge fan of John Voight. What was the first one that had John Voight?
The first one. Yeah.
First one, yeah.
I love that one. I think that one's super underrated.
Yes.
A lot of people didn't like it at the time because most of the movie, it wasn't a team. It was just Ethan Hawke. He puts together, he is a character they made up for the movie, and then they killed off the whole team from the TV show. And then he came up with his own new team. People are like, who are these guys? Vin Rames and a French guy? And then it turns out the John Voight, the what's his name? Phelps?
Phelps.
The lead character, the main hero of the TV show. Oh, he's the bad guy in the movie. I remember walking out of the movie.
Flipped.
Yeah, my parents were like, you can't do that to Mission Impossible, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, you can.
And I was like...
And they did.
I was a kid. I was like, that was great. You see the train and the helicopter? No scum in the throat. Tom Cruise, man. It was Tom Cruise.
He's so short.
The new one's good. I really like it.
I want to finish it.
As you should. And Ted 2 comes out the end this week, which I was disappointed by.
Same old jokes,
rehash. It felt like a rehash. Yeah. Whereas the first one felt like fresh and fun, this one was like, eh.
Go figure, the Curse of the Comedy Sequel.
Curse of the Comedy Sequel strikes again. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Alvin and the Chipmunks : The Road Chip.
That movie's going to make so much money.
Actually, it's going to make nothing. Just like Sisters.
Why were they thinking of putting out Sisters against Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Sisters is not going to make any money either.
Amy Poehler and Tina Fey, they're like, we have appeal. We have pull. People want to see us this weekend.
They do, but everybody in the entire universe is going to see Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Every other movie's doomed.
Yes, right? Everything. For like, and the horrible thing is, I mean, it's going to be number one this week. It's probably going to be number one next week, too.
It's probably number one for the foreseeable future.
And there are at least
3-4 weeks, I would say, it'd be number one.
There are probably three movies that I want to see just as bad that come out the next week.
Yeah, yeah, there are movies that are coming out that I am sure to, just based on the nature of the directors and the types of movies they are, there are movies coming out after Star Wars that I am sure I'm going to like them more than Star Wars. Might even end up on my top 10 list of the year.
Probably.
But it's Star Wars,
but it's Star Wars.
It's Star Wars, bro. I saw an article. Someone did the math. They've calculated how many theaters are in the country.
Uh-huh.
Average ticket price, like $8 and change is your average movie ticket price in the country. Like Drew said, if every person saw Star Wars, right? Uh-huh. Imagine that, because movie theaters have the ability to up the screen count in their theaters.
Yeah.
So like the Regal 20 over here, they'll start showing Star Wars on like four. I think they have 5 screens set aside for Star Wars.
If it demands, they can add screens.
If it demands, they'll take away other movies like Good Dinosaur, you are out of here. That is now Star Wars all day. Creed, you are out of here. That is now Star Wars. They can do that. So if all theaters did that, and every movie, every showing was sold out, every seat at the average movie price, Star Wars would have a 3-day opening weekend of $1.2 billion.
Holy and you know what? Geez. And you know what? That sounds totally plausible.
Every screening, every theater in the country, everyone's just seeing Star Wars. So
it wouldn't surprise.
It's not even possible. People got to work in the theaters. When are they going to see the movie?
It's safe to say it's going to smash Jurassic World, right?
I don't know about smashing.
Really?
I don't know.
As an opening weekend, probably not, but there's a reason for that, and Chris will probably
Disney has already said that they expect it to make $170 million opening weekend. Jurassic World made $208. So that's almost a $40 million difference. The reason why December movies, the biggest December opening weekend ever is $84 million, which was the first of the Hobbit movies. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey, made $84 million, biggest opening weekend in December of all time.
Is it because of the traveling?
It's because it's December.
Everything. Yeah. It's December.
Think about it. It's a week before Christmas we're talking about, right? So most schools are still in session.
Yep.
Okay. Families are shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Parents are shopping.
Or putting the nose to the grindstone to get ready for the holidays.
Or they're working overtime. Or you're going to Christmas parties. You're going to Christmas events. There's a lot of church things going on. Just a lot of obligations around this time of year, as opposed to summer.
Nobody's got shit going on.
Most big movies come out the first weekend of May because most schools are out. People have summer vacation.
There's time to kill.
There's no obligations.
Yeah.
First week of May, there's no holiday there. There's nothing to do. Being right around Christmas, it's a double-edged thing. When the Christmas holiday rolls around, a lot of people are off. A lot of things are closed. Yeah. Movies do pretty good business. Christmas Day, maybe the day after. But the week leading up, it's a little tough. So when the King Kong remake came out in 2005, 2006, it opened up to like $66 million. And that was like, top 3 opening weekends for December of all time. But people in the media who didn't know were expecting to make a huge amount of money. They were writing, headlines are like, oh, King Kong flops at the box office, when it was like almost setting records. You know, that box office is a weird thing. So if Star Wars makes like 170, it's going to blow the December record out of the water.
Huh?
Yeah. The record it can beat, that I would not be surprised that it does. And I think it's much more impressive than opening weekend all time. Worldwide all time. Right now, claimed by Avatar, which came out in December. Right? More pressing for that. Avatar came out in December, $77 million opening weekend. Second week, $75 million.
Holy cow.
It just same amount of people. Expect that with Star Wars. First weekend, 170. Second weekend,
150.
Maybe 100 to 120, which is still stupid. It's so much.
Yeah.
It's an insane amount of money for a movie.
I wonder who made the
call
to put it out in December.
Disney did. What happened was they originally wanted to come out the first weekend of May of this year. It should have come out 6 months ago.
Yeah.
So they had the release date first. They had all their release dates. They had the release date for this episode 8, episode 9 set forever ago. And then they gave it to J.J. Abrams. Then J.J. Abrams started working on the movie. And then he went to Disney and said, hey, guys, I need a year. I need an extra year to make this a good movie. Please give me one more year. They said, we'll give you 6 months. And he was like, all right, I'll take that. I'll take what I can get. So instead of come out in May, where surely it would have opened up to like, I don't know, $300 million, something stupid, it got pushed to December. But from this point forward, though, their episode 8 is May 2017. Episode 9 is May 2019.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Disney wants the movie to come out in May. Yeah. Well, that's when the money's going to get made.
Move.
Yeah. If they could make a Star Wars movie to come out in the beginning of May, and if they could find a way to put Iron Man in there, it would make yeah. all the money. Because those are movies that make money.
Yes.
So yeah, it's gonna be a ridiculous box office. And then all that being said, if it does make 210, 215 somehow, if it still does that,
it's over. Yeah.
I still won't be surprised.
No.
Because it's everywhere.
Yeah.
It was everywhere. I was at a damn Target today.
Oh, dude. Star Wars everything.
Every 20 feet, there's a Star Wars. No matter... I'm in the clothing section. Here's some Star Wars clothes. I'm in the toy section, obviously. Star Wars I'm in the men's section. Star Wars men's underwear. I'm in the
great thing
I'm
is,
in the car section. Star Wars floor mats for your
the
cars.
The great thing is...
Cookware and mugs.
They're still pushing the Darth Vader everything, and he is no longer in the movies.
That's true. Darth Vader
he is everywhere, and he is not going to be in any of these movies.
That's a testament to how iconic that, yeah, that character is, man.
Fantastic character.
But didn't they shut down the Fandango site for the pre-sale tickets and stuff? And yeah. It was so ridiculous traffic.
Yeah, the servers went down. They had $50 million in pre-sales for an opening weekend. But that's just more a testament to how thirsty these nerds are.
We are. Well, we've been parched in under the desert sun for so long, and the last three times we thought we saw water, it was a mirage.
Yeah, true.
All right, we're still waiting. This time, it might actually be water.
Yeah, Drew, the question for you is, though, are you of the mindset that maybe they've set the bar too high? Because I've read an article about that on Facebook that people are saying
expectations?
That,
I mean...
Expectations are very high for this. Yeah.
Expectations are high, and maybe they did set the bar too high, but at the same time, I mean...
It is coming off the prequels.
Exactly. It's coming off the prequels. I mean, we've as long as this movie is better than the prequels, then that's all it has to be.
Yeah, true.
It doesn't have to even touch... The other three movies.
It doesn't have to be as good as Empire. No. It just needs to be better than Phantom Menace.
As long as there's no Jar Jar Binks, then we'll all be clear.
Well, no, exactly. Right. As long as these movies are better than the prequels, then the Star Wars community will be fine with it.
George Lucas saw the movie, apparently. He finally saw a cut of it. And apparently gave it a backhanded compliment.
He wants more pod racing?
I think he does want more pod racing. Because he said the fans are going to like it.
Oh, what geez. A fuck.
Yeah, what
a stiff,
what a dick thing to
what
say.
What a fuck.
But he's already talked about pretty recently in interviews where he's like, the reason he was able to let Star Wars go, you know, for the $4 billion, most of which he gave most of that money away. The money Disney paid him, it's all gone. The reason he did it was because he wanted to make more Star Wars movies, but he didn't want to because the fans were dogging him and everything. And it's like, I'm making these movies for me, not for you guys.
Yeah,
you know, it's cool that you like them, but these are my movies. So that's this whole thing. Then the J.J. Abrams thing, they threw away Lucas's outline and everything. They came up with their whole own thing. So he had nothing to do with this at all.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Because the Star Wars movies that I want to see are not George Lucas's Star Wars movies.
Yeah, what a weird thing to say. I'm making them for me, not for you guys. Like, they're the people that are putting money in your pocket.
But in the beginning, I'm sure he was making them for him. For himself, because there was no guarantee that these movies were going to do any business
at
all.
True, which is why Fox they agreed to distribute the movie, but then
they didn't care about the rights.
They gave them the marketing rights.
Yeah,
they said, "Hey, the merchandising rights,
we don't care.
No one's going to want any of these toys."
Yeah. Exactly.
Is that amazing?
So I get it, and I'm glad he did what he did because I don't want to see any more of George Lucas's movies,
and we're not going to see any more. Now we're getting the J.J. Abrams,
which I'm okay with.
Star Wars, followed by the Rian Johnson Star Wars. I'm more excited for that one. The guy who did Looper and Brick doing a Star Wars movie.
That could be interesting.
That's dope. So they just announced recently who's doing episode 9.
So does that mean...
Colin Trevorrow, guy who did Jurassic World.
So the second one...
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That guy went from a little indie film called Safety Not Guaranteed to Jurassic World to Star Wars episode 9.
Yeah.
That's a crazy trajectory.
So do you think in Star Wars episode, was this going to be... No, it was...
10, 11, 12, 10, 13, 14.
Whatever it is.
You can't afford in the future?
No, for episode... 8, I guess it would be, because this is a 7.
This is a 7.
Yeah, so yeah, episode 8, do you think JGL is going to have an appearance?
Oh, because he's in Brick and Looper?
Yeah,
because
he was...
They'll get him in there, yeah. That'd be cool.
They'll just throw him in. All of a sudden, I'm Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Goodbye.
Goodbye. He's like, guys, I'm stoned. Goodbye. I'd be down with that. I'm down with JGL in Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's fine. Totally fine. So that's what's coming out next weekend. We'll be talking about that. on episode 154. Something. And we'll also do a spoiler bonus episode as well. So before we take a break, it is time for my favorite segment of the show, Dr. Drew's Two Cents. Here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, the doctor is in. Doc Hollywood himself. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Two words. Star Wars. That is all.
Thank you, Drew. Dr. Drew's Two Cents is Star Wars. What about him? You'll never know. Or tune in next week to find out. Tune in next week to find out, Drew?
Sure. Why not? Or maybe you'll never know. Who knows?
Or maybe you'll never know.
I mean, I could die before next Sunday. It could happen.
It can.
No.
It can. It can happen. All right. Let's take a break. Crespo Disco time. It is that time of year, that Christmas time of year. I got a couple of tracks from the Home Alone soundtrack. John Williams.
Huh, oh, Johnny Will.
Old Johnny Will. J. Williams did the Home Alone soundtrack. So here's the main title, as well as the song Man of the House, which is one. It's a song that plays when he's running around the house by himself doing stuff. Remember that part?
Vaguely.
Okay. We'll be back with the second half of the show with Drew and Simon. You guys ready?
Yes.
Welcome to the Crespo Dome.
And we are back. We are back, 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 back. God, episode 153 of Cinema Crespo. So it's still going strong. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, hanging out with Juicy Cogburn, Drew.
What up?
And Simon Time Simon.
Woo!
All right, let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew, where can people find you online?
At Antihero 419, all over the interwebs.
All right. Simon, where can people find you online?
You can check out my quiz shows at earthtrivia.com or on facebook.com/SimonTimeTrivia. And you can check out all my wrestling endeavors at facebook.com, The Simon Says, S-E-Z, or Twitter, Emerald_Emperor, or VintageWrestlingFL.com. I am the Vintage Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
All right, let's go through these things one at a time. For our locals here, we have a decent amount of local people listening. Where around town do you do the trivia?
Sundays, I have a show at Trick Shots in Waterford Lakes at Lake Underhill Road.
Yep.
Tuesdays, I'm at BWR Buffalo Wings and Rings in Kissimmee at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then Castleberry Smoky Bones at 8:30.
Nice.
Wednesday nights at Smoky Bones on East Colonial at 8 o'clock.
Nice.
Thursdays, I'm right around the corner at the Copper Rocket at 7 p.m.
Copper
and
Rock.
And then late night show at the Vaneys on University at 10 p.m.
The one over by UCF.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And then Friday nights, back at the Copper Rocket for a four-round game at 7 p.m.
Nice. Guys, so many trivial opportunities. Not trivial, trivia, as in cool, not worth your time. It's hard. You want to say trivial in relation to trivia, but trivial is not a good thing. Things aren't supposed to, you don't want things that are trivial.
Quizzy goodness.
Quizzy goodness. Get down with the quizzy goodness and the Simon Time goodness. What was that wrestling website?
VintageWrestlingFL.com.
VintageWrestlingFlorida.com. Yep. VintageWrestlingFL. What do you got, anything to plug there? Do you have any matches coming up or anything?
Yes, sir. We have the biggest event of the year, Wrestle Brawl 7.
Nice.
Coming up January 23rd in the middle of downtown Orlando. Going to be sectioning off a part of Orange Ave like we did last year where I won
what?
The titles.
Really?
My 1 year anniversary of being the Vintage Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
Really?
I've been a pro wrestler February.
Wait a second. We got the Vintage World Wrestling Heavyweight Champion here?
Yeah. Yes.
Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
I had no idea.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
February 13th is my 10-year anniversary of being a professional wrestler.
10 oh, years?
Wow. Yes, sir.
Wow, congratulations.
And I don't look like a conventional wrestler. Most times I tell people I'm in the wrestling business, they're like, what are you, a referee? Or
are you a promoter? What's going on?
Hell no, I tear it up in the ring, bitch.
You're the guy that keeps all the money. What's going on?
Yeah, that actually, there's me.
Oh, that's a great promo. That's a great shot right there. Look at that.
He's the heavyweight champion of the world.
Looking like an actual damn wrestler. That's fantastic for 10 years now. Who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
I was a big, big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Hell yeah, Stone
big
Cold.
Fan of The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Back younger, I was a big fan of IRS. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, IRS.
Big fan of the cartoony, gimmicky guys.
IRS, wasn't that... the tag team.
Ted DiBiase's right-hand man, the Million Dollar Team.
The Million Dollar Team, yes.
And I was a big fan of the
Headbangers. That's early 90s.
The Headbangers.
Headbangers, fuck yeah, the Headbangers.
Who I actually got to win my second set of Florida Tag Team titles from a couple years ago.
Really?
It's one of my biggest career highs. Got to wrestle, I don't know if you remember Demolition.
Fuck yeah, I remember Demolition, Axe and Smash.
Yeah, I got to wrestle them and beat them.
Nice.
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Oh, yeah.
And all these guys, man.
All the classics guys. Yeah. Man, that's fantastic. Yeah, I watched a good amount of wrestling in the 80s. I remember at the first one of the first matches I remember watching was just a random Saturday morning Rick Rude versus Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, these guys, they look the same. Who is who? I can't.
One of them's got a snake in a bag.
Yeah, but the snake was already in the bag. It's like, I can't tell the difference between these guys. That was when Jake the Snake was in much better shape.
Yeah. And Rick Rude had Jake the Snake's wife airbrushed on the front of his tights.
He would do shit like that. Yeah. So cold, man. Oh, Rick Rude.
Yeah, I was trained by Team 3D, the Dudley Boys.
Really?
So
the Dudley Boys. Let me tell you a Dudley Boy story. So I spent most of my time growing up in Staten Island, New York. In the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, my favorite wrestling promotion. I was into wrestling very much in the 90s. WWF, WCW. I loved Monday Night Wars. But my favorite promotion was ECW. All right? That was the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that WWF stole all their shit from ECW. ECW would come to the Sportsplex in Staten Island to do the house shows there. You know, they would come through all the time. 1 year, maybe it was 95, they showed up, and the Dudley Boys as bad guys, and it's Bubba Ray and Devon with Big Dick Dudley, Sign Guy Dudley, and I think even...
Dances with Dudley.
I forgot about Dance with Dudley. Spike Dudley might have been there too, right? And they're all hardcore bad guys, and they're going down the ring, I was not there for this, but I am a victim of this because they were going down the aisle and they're jawing with the crowd, and the crowd, they must have been hammered drunk, right? And the Dudleys were so good at riling people up. Shit got heated and people started throwing punches at the Dudleys. They climbed over the guardrail and started throwing punches back.
Hell yeah.
Big Dick Dudley got his ass arrested and spent the night in jail in Staten Island.
Oh, wow. He's so good.
Yeah, he missed a taping the next day in Philadelphia. I think he was even suspended for a while. But it's ECW. It's like, we need you. Come on back. And then ECW didn't come back to Staten Island for like 2 years.
Wow. So good.
Because
though,
of that. But then when they came back, I was there for that shit. Saw Justin Credible, RVD, Sabu. Okay,
you
it was amazing.
I had no clue, dude.
Yeah, dude. In the 90s, I was super, super into wrestling.
He's a wrestling
That's
guy.
That's awesome, man. I worked at Halloween Horror Nights for 6 years for Universal. So I got my start in wrestling. I snuck backstage during one of the TV tapings. It's like a movie. I say this to everybody every time. It's like a movie. One of my buddies was one of the security guards and got fired for mouthing off to Terry Taylor. So he threw me his security shirt, and I'm sitting there holding it. And Simon Diamond walks by. He goes, "Hey, we need security guys for this pre-tape." I just put the shirt on.
Let's do this.
And worked for them for 3 years.
It's amazing.
And the Sinister Minister and Simon Diamond were the ones that got me my start. They're my mentors.
Oh, wow.
That's awesome.
That is amazing. That's a great story. They gave me a shirt, and I just took the job. I wasn't even on their payroll. I just started showing up.
If you watch a lot of the old stuff from 2005, like when Kurt Angle debuted and he headbutts Samoa Joe, I'm the first security guard.
Your first one there?
He grabs him, so.
That's awesome. See, people, even security guards are wrestlers.
That's right.
They're sneaking them in there somehow. That is fantastic. Yeah, dude, when ECW went out of business and then WCW, they were running out of money and WWF bought everything up and everything on TV became homogenized, and they tried to be like, hey, Raw is one thing and SmackDown is another. I'm like, I ain't having none of that. This all sucks. Yeah. And then I stopped watching. That also happened right around the same time. Not so coincidentally, right around the same time that I went to college. I kind of like,
matured.
Matured and
started doing other things.
Yeah, I guess maybe mature is not the word. More like met a lot of people. Wanted to be hanging out. Wanted to be outside Monday night instead of inside.
Wanted to be partying.
I want to be doing stuff.
Wanted
to be meeting chicks and things like that.
I fell in love with it, man. My my grandfather actually passed away in 1999, so he went to South America to his funeral.
Yeah.
At 13 years old, they got the Stone Cold Steve Austin tattoo.
That's awesome. Yeah,
nice. And then we went back the next day, and I got the Undertaker symbol on the other leg.
Oh, wow. Really are your favorite wrestlers. Yes, sir. I remember when Undertaker debuted at a Survivor Series.
Yeah, 1990.
I was watching that one, and Brother Love was the one bringing him out. And the best part about it was that I was 8 years old, man. The best part about it was that he came out into the ring and it was Survivor Series, so it's 4-on-4. His three teammates, whoever they were, never got into the ring.
Did nothing!
Yeah, the Undertaker just, like, four guys in a row, he just destroyed four people.
I save my profanity on the air for very special moments, but I am going to say, fucking Chris Crespo, dude, dropping the knowledge, dude. I walked in and I'm like, you know what? I've listened to the show, these guys are cool as hell. I've talked to Chris briefly on the air and saw the Simpsons stuff, Drew dropping the knowledge on the Star Wars, and now the fucking rest, I'm home, dude.
I'm telling you, you're right where you belong.
Hell yeah.
Well, people, follow him on Twitter. Check out the wrestling show. When is that show?
January 23rd. The Saturday night.
It's a Saturday night.
And you guys, you and Drew have...
Drew, we're going to have to go.
Yeah, we are.
You guys have VIP tickets. On me, we'll get in the ring and get pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm wrestling former TNA star Samuel Shaw.
Sam Shaw. Don't know the name. Sam Shaw.
Yeah, he's a newer guy.
Okay.
Came up in the indie scene and stuff. And
very cool.
I just wrestled Chris Hero. From Ring of Honor.
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah, he beat the fuck out of me.
Really? Oh, he's a stiff guy?
He hit me so hard I thought I'd never be cheerful again.
See, people don't know. It's
rough, man.
Wrestling's so brutal.
That's the main question. Simon, is it fake? And I always tell people it's not fake.
It's staged.
It's predetermined.
Is it staged?
It's choreographed.
Yes, but it's not fake.
But you can't fake gravity. And that ring is stiff as hell.
And I do like that we have now reached a point in our culture where we can talk about wrestling in this way. We can all be kayfabe about it.
Yeah. You know the lingo.
And we don't got to pretend. We don't got to pretend and be like, oh, no, it's real, But at the same time, we'd be like, well, they're not using ketchup packets. Well, these guys are bleeding for real out there for your entertainment. So appreciate that.
And my big thing for any fans to check out, Simon Says Wrestling on YouTube. My big theory and philosophy in wrestling is I like to hit really hard, and I like to get hit really hard.
Sure.
For when fans sit in the crowd, I want them to go, this is fake. This is fake. This is hokey. Here comes Simon. And he's going to beat the shit out of somebody in the ring.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, man, why do these guys, they hate each other?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. January 23rd, I'm there. We're there, man.
Definitely.
Awesome. I'm going to cheer you on. It's going to be great. All right, let's get the show started. Why don't we? Oh, you know what? I forgot to say.
This is the beginning?
Yeah, we're just starting the show
what
right
now.
What
the fuck have we been doing for the
last
hour?
No, that was
hour.
All warm-up. The microphones are not on.
Are you shitting me?
That was all warm-up. Actually, follow me on Twitter at IamChrisCrespo. Email the show, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. If you want free stickers, Simon will make sure you leave it a whole bunch of stickers. If you want free stickers, email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com.
Please take them.
And please.
Please, I'm begging you.
We'll send you so many. We'll send you so many. You'll be like, why did these guys send me so many stickers for?
No way. I'll be handing these out at Simon Time Trivia.
Hell yeah. We'll make sure you get a whole ton of them then.
You can take a stack with you.
Also, email the show... to get your stuff read in the Vox Populi segment, your movie reviews, your questions, your topics, we'll read it then. And follow Billy D on Twitter at I Love Blood, our homeboy Billy D, our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado. And since I mentioned him, let's go ahead and get started here with the Billy D's the movies. Where is that intro? Here we go. Ready?
Nope.
Oh!
No, we're not. We are not ready,
Chris.
We're
not doing that just yet. Juice the cock, ring versus the world. Juice the cock, ring versus the world. Simon, it is time for some Juice the cock, ring versus the world.
I'm going up against a fucking heavyweight champion. What the hell is going on
heavyweight
here?
Heavyweight champion and a fellow trivia master like Mr. Earth.
God, this is not going to be good.
Oh, boy. Well, Juice the cock, you are 18-6 this year. Great record. No matter what happens.
Pressure's on.
Doing pretty good.
But you lost last time, so Simon, you got to go first in this game. This week's game is called The New Classic Literature. I'm talking about comic books. I'm going to tell you the actor. You tell me if the actor has ever played a comic book character in a movie or not.
Ooh.
So it's a yes or no. Yes or no question. Like, gotcha. Give me the actor. Has he been or has he not been, or she, been a comic book character? I have two groups, Simon. Group A, Group B. 5 in each. Which one do you want? Group
I'll
a,
choose
group
B.
B. Please. Here we go. Yes or no comic book character. Number 1, Gene Hackman.
Yes.
Correct. Number 2, Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Correct. Number 3, Michael Jai White.
Yes.
That's correct. Number 4, Jennifer Lopez.
No.
That's correct. And number 5, Denzel Washington.
No.
This guy ran the table. Drew 5 for 5. Simon is...
Oh, man.
Drew, right. You ready?
Yes.
Number 1, George Clooney.
No.
Oh,
he was fucking Batman.
He was fucking Batman.
He was fucking Batman.
He was fucking Batman.
That's it. I lost.
All right, number 2, John Malkovich.
No.
That's correct. Number 3, Brandon Lee.
Yes.
That's correct. Number 4, Hugo Weaving.
Yes.
That's correct. Number 5, Matt Damon.
No.
Oh, Drew.
Who was Matt Damon?
No, Matt Damon. You're right.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Matt Damon was not good. Yeah, but I'm one. Saying all Drew.
The George Clooney.
The George Clooney one.
I
you're so close.
I have erased George Clooney's Batman from my memory. It was so bad.
You were so close. And now you're 18-7.
So be it.
Congratulations, Simon.
Woo! Still heavyweight champion
still
of the world.
Heavyweight champion the Emerald of the world. Sorry, this time.
You know, I do have a bad taste in my mouth for Hugo Weaving, though, because I'm a huge fan of the Red Skull, and the fact that he's not going to...
Oh, yeah. I thought he was perfect casting for the Red Skull,
he was good.
Too.
And he complained about the makeup or whatever it was, and he's like, dude, you're getting paid a buttload of money. Just,
yeah. Come on. Well, did he get paid a buttload? Maybe not as much as you think. He maybe got, like, 6 figures. He's not getting the millions that Robert Downey Jr. is getting. Yeah. And then that makeup though. That makeup was so good.
So badass.
It looked great. He looked great. And he was a great choice for it. He was also a Viva Vendetta, so multiple.
And Agent Smith.
That was in the comic book though.
Ah, true, yeah.
But Agent Smith is
Viva
a badass.
Vendetta is for a
yeah,
comic good.
Yeah,
style,
yeah, but Agent Smith is a badass character.
My nerd brother.
Another iconic movie villain. All right, like I said, we're going to do Billy D's Death in the Movies, and I got that intro song here, so here we go. Here we go, Juicy Cogburn, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
I've had a crazy week up here and haven't seen a movie worth writing about. Which to me is the greatest sin. At least inspire me to hate you.
Yeah, right? That is the worst. When you see a movie and you're just like, meh. Like, at least be bad enough to piss me off.
Yeah. Recently, I did get a chance to sit down with a buddy and binge on a little cable TV show I don't get to watch. A return to a mythology and characters I've been waiting for since I was literally 14 years old.
Mm-mm.
I have fully caught up to Ash versus Evil Dead.
Oh.
And I love it.
Ah, I want to see this.
I want to sit and watch the whole thing. As an epic Evil Dead movie.
Huh.
It has it all. The humor, the whip pans, rack zooms, gore, and the chin. Oh, that fucking chin. I'm the target fan for this show, and I pretty much love everything about it. Slapstick has never been executed so well. My only issue is that it's shot too well.
Mm.
I can see so much of everything, and whatever danger was left to poor quality of the old films has long gone because they shoot this one on the Alexa or an RED.
So it looks gorgeous.
Oh.
Yeah, nice and crisp.
Not saying I miss the VHS artifacts, but the 16mm grain on the Evil Dead Blu-ray is nice.
Mm.
If you aren't caught up and want to be, you only have to watch Evil Dead 2 to understand events of Ash versus Evil Dead. If you want to see the rest of it after, go ahead. You will be doing yourself a favor. The Evil Dead films are some of my personal faves and high on my greatest trilogies list.
Yeah.
The King has returned, baby. Stay cool, Billy D.
That's awesome. Oh, you.
I've seen the first episode.
I want to see the whole show.
I saw the first episode in New York. It was good.
I want to see the show. Drew.
Get that Showtime, man.
Yeah.
Get that Showtime.
No, Stars.
Get that Stars, whatever.
Stars. Twin Peaks will be on Showtime. Mm. And he's right about how, like, the Evil Dead movies being shot on film, but like 16mm film and being low budget, it makes a movie like that, a horror movie like that,
it gives it a certain feel.
Yeah, it just makes it feel dirtier and grimier and more real in a way. It's like the movie Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's such a grimy, dirty movie. If they shot that on like high def video, you know, HD, whatever,
it would not be the same thing.
Would not be the same thing. Not at all. It's weird how that works, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Man, I just want to see that show even more. Thank you so much, Billy D. You the man. Let's get into the segment of the people. This is your segment. All you listening, you want your stuff read on the show. You want your topics discussed, your questions asked, your movie reviews read. You do it here in the Vox Populi. And let's check that out.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi. Vox Populi. Vox Populi.
What did you see? Let us know at Chris Bliso on Twitter, Cinema Chris Bliso on Facebook, or CinemaChrisBliso at gmail.com. Drew, what do you got?
On the Facebook, Chris.
On Facebook.
Ricardo Perez gets at us.
What's up, Ricardo?
He wants to know our thoughts on race and its correlation in movies based on books and comic books.
Whoa, heavy question. The heaviness. We're having a good time, man. Talking about Star Wars.
Race.
Race.
Speaking of race in Star Wars, Black Stormtrooper, are you okay with it?
Man, that caused such an uproar. That was like embarrassing for humanity.
I don't understand why.
Like, why are you Star Wars nerds so racist? All right, I know why he brings up that question, and we'll talk about that story in a second. But I do want to mention this. You talked about the Star Wars box office opening weekend. I saw another article online. Again, 1,000 articles have been written online about how much money Star Wars is going to make opening weekend. All of us. I wrote my own article. It's like 3,000 fucking words. We're all taking guesses. Stabs, shots in the dark, right? So I read this article. It's all about the box office. That's it. It's about the numbers. I get down to the comment section. I don't even know why I went to the comment section. People, stay out of the comment section, please. It is the worst of humanity down there. I scroll down a little bit, just immediately about race. And people being pissed off. A lot of people, you know, I kept seeing over and over saying that they took Star Wars and they turned it into a PC thing, because now they have women in there and people of color. POC is what you always see in there. So people see like, oh, the only reason that there's a black person here or there are more women is because it's a PC police coming in. Yeah. Yeah, that's the exact reaction that I had, Simon. What? You people are fucking out of your minds.
Or maybe they just want to write stories having people of color and ladies.
Maybe they want to write stories about people that aren't white men. Straight white men.
Yeah.
I mean, we get it. They exist. They rule the world. And then, of course, on these comments, you would think then the replies underneath would be people calling them out. For every one person that's like, you're an idiot, there's another 5 or 6 people like, yeah, you're right. Like, fuck those N-words, blah, blah, like, straight up. Like going hard. Going fucking hard. And you can actually see some of these comments because I I did a few screenshots and I tweeted them out there and I put it out. I was like, this is the comments section of an article about the box office potential of Star Wars. And it's just the worst fucking shit. People are just like, I'll just stick with the old Star Wars and the Han and Leia, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, these are Star Wars fans.
Yeah, live your life antiquated just as your views.
Yes.
Jeez Louise, man.
It's just, man, I wish I could credit whoever said it because it makes so much sense. It's, and no offense, white people here or white people that are listening, but the white people in this country that are so anxious about becoming a racial minority in this country, is it because that they know how racial minorities are treated in this country? Is that why they're so anxious about it?
More than likely.
Yeah, they know. Good if you're point. A racial minority, you're treated as a second-class citizen.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't want that to happen to them.
Correct.
As opposed to just fixing the fucking problem.
That takes too much work, Chris.
See, Ricardo, what you got us going through now? So he brings this up because...
And on top of it, I'm white and lazy.
Oh, you are so white and lazy. The laziest white guy I've ever seen. I thought you guys were supposed to be entrepreneurial.
No. That's the Hispanics.
No, they're lazy too, I thought.
I thought they were hard. I mean, I worked in kitchens my whole life.
Hispanics get both. Somehow they're both lazy and they're hardworking. Yeah. Racism makes no sense.
It's weird.
I look white, but I'm Hispanic.
There you go.
But I blend. I'm like a chameleon. Yes,
you're like the you're like the Sheen family.
Yeah.
Yes, they're not the Sheens.
We blend in and out, man. When I was up in New York, growing up there in the Northeast, people automatically assumed I was Italian.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I was born in South America. I was born in Colombia.
Okay.
But I moved to Connecticut when I was 4 and grew up there.
And everyone thought you were Italian up there.
Yeah.
But then you come down to Florida, and for some reason everyone has Spanish star down here. It's like people immediately started talking to me in Spanish. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, bro. I moved here in 8th grade, and they automatically put me in ESOL classes. And
really?
I'm like, I wasn't talented and gifted up there. What is it?
That is some racist shit right there, man. That's amazing. The reason Ricardo wants us to be getting all fired about race is because the Dark Tower series, Stephen King's The Dark Tower series, finally being made into a motion picture to start with the first film, The Gunslinger. Latest rumor for the main cast for the lead character is Idris Elba. As the gunslinger, Roland Deschain.
Oh no, he's black, and he wasn't black in the comic book or the show.
The book in the novel, he is described as pretty much Clint Eastwood.
Yeah,
in the novels.
Yeah.
Okay, which is cool, right? Because that's what the character is based on. But
we can't have a black Clint Eastwood.
Here is where the racist nerds are getting their racist panties up in a racist bunch. It's that one of the characters in the second book. She is introduced in a second book, and then she is in book 2 through 7. She's in the entire story. Is a black woman, a legless, an amputee black woman from 1950s New York or 1960s New York. And she is schizophrenic, and half of her, like the crazy angry half, is mad racist towards white people. Like, she fucking hates white people. Mm-hmm. And you know what? 1950s America... I'm cool with that.
Sounds about right.
It sounds right. If you were paying attention, you should be hateful of them. She's mad racist against white people. So then it made her, and then she finds herself thrust into a situation where the only people around are this dude Roland, who's a Clint Eastwood type, and then some other guy, another white dude named Eddie, who's a junkie at this point. So she's like, she hates white people, and also when this thing happens, she's like stuck in the mode of the hateful lady. So they have to overcome that in like the second book, right? But it's only the second book. I think by the third book, that's all gone. All her honky mafa shit that she keeps saying over and over. It's literally what she says, honky mafa. It's gone by like the third or fourth book. And then the rest of the book, she's just, you know, a cool lady who's a fucking wicked fast draw, right? Mm-hmm. And so people are flipping out like, oh, the lead character can't be black because you already got this black character over here. How can she hate him for his whiteness if he's black?
She can beat Uncle Ruckus. She can hate him because he's black.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That'd be even better.
I hate my gums because they black. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck.
To quote Billy D, our friend Billy D, never seen Uncle Ruckus. Not saying Uncle Ruckus and Dr. Ben Carson are the same person.
But I've never seen them together in the same place.
Never seen them in the same
room. Rick, were you just quoting Don't Be a Menace to South Central? Remember,
I hate your skin because it's black.
I hate Goldberg.
I hate my gun. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's hair. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck.
I think the first and probably the most glaring like comic book nerds being up in a racial hodgepodge was the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck when they got Michael Clark Duncan to play the Kingpin. Remember
back
that?
Back then, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, not a black Kingpin.
Yeah, why? Why? Why?
Who cares?
All why, people? What do they all got to be waiting for?
When it comes to books and movies and comic books and things of that nature, unless, like, their race is an important, like a super important part of like their story.
Like you're telling the story of Malcolm X.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes. Don't make him white.
Exactly. Unless it's something of that nature, I don't see a problem with changing anything, whether it be skin color, gender. I mean,
especially
whatever.
If you're adapting one form of art to another. So the character is white in the comic book. Well, in my movie, he's Asian.
So fuck you.
Because I wanted to be Asian. Because I want to place it in Japan. And no. I want this stuff going in there. Because it's my art.
Exactly.
You know? And you want the character to be white. That's cool. You got the comic book. He's white all day in the comic book.
Yeah. Michael Clark Duncan did a great job too. Yeah. So
he's a good actor.
Although I don't know. I think Vinny D did a better job.
Oh, Vinny D was great.
Oh, amazing. Yeah.
Vinny D did a really good Kingpin.
That was just great casting.
He made that show, man, in my opinion.
I like the choreography, the action choreography and the fighting.
One scene where he goes to save the kid from the Russians and he fights him in that one
hallway. Yeah, and it's going back and forth and it's all that one
take. I was like, hey, it's Old Boy.
Yeah, it's Old Boy style. Yeah, it was very cool. It's a good show. I think, changing races like that. And then it's always like the people are always going crazy. Well, there's actually two ways, right? So you got when you change a character from a white character to a different race. You got all the people like, oh, you're taking away all my white heroes. Like, guys, you have plenty of white heroes left. But then it goes the other way. There's this movie coming out, Gods of Egypt. You remember that trailer?
Yes.
Have you seen the trailer for this?
So weird.
It looks like a really strange
it's action movie. Mortal Kombat meets
300.
Meets, what was that? Kirk Douglas.
Exodus. Oh, Spartacus.
No.
Kirk Douglas. Michael Douglas, Kirk Douglas, Spartacus, Ben-Hur, no,
I'm trying to think.
Lawrence of Arabia.
No, Egypt, but future, but past.
Egypt, but the future past in Egypt?
What was the name of that fucking stupid movie?
Westworld.
Past.
The future past in Egypt.
Yeah. With a tall, short guy.
Yeah, the tall, short guy.
With the light, dark hair.
The giant interdimensional portals that go
Stargate.
Through. There we go.
Stargate. Wow. Michael, Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell, not Kirk Douglas. Damn it. Too much Trumbo.
He turned Kurt Russell into Michael Douglas, but then said Kirk Douglas instead of Michael Douglas.
Because I watched Trumbo the other Trumbo, day. Exactly. Yeah. It's all got confused in my head.
He's like, this Stanley Kubrick guy is a pain in my ass, but he's right. Yeah, it looks like all these movies match together. Big action movie from the director of The Crow and Dark City and I, Robot.
It's like, what?
Alex Proyas.
But you were saying it. You were using it as an example.
That it's a movie that takes place in Egypt. It's the Egyptian gods.
And all the Egyptian gods are white, apparently.
Everyone's white as fuck. It's Gerald Butler, who's Scottish.
Yes.
It's the Jamie Lannister from Game of Thrones, who's like Norwegian or Swedish or some shit.
It's a bunch of white people.
Yeah. The main guy, the main lead character who's a human is... Brendan Thwaites, I think he's English. Yeah. So it's going in the other way. Yep. That's when you take characters that are already supposed to be, quote, people of color.
Yes.
And then you give all those to white people.
It's the whitewash.
Because it's the whitewashing. Because it's like, oh, the white people don't got enough roles and they got to take the roles from the colored people.
Yes.
Right. Yes. I feel weird saying colored people. That's the society we live in, man. I hate it. I fucking hate
We're all colored, Chris.
We are all colored. You're a tall pinky.
Exactly. I'm a tall pinky. You're all
right.
You're a fat brownie.
I can be pink though.
I'm in between.
That's the thing. It depends if we're in the sun.
Oh.
Yeah. If you're in the sun for a while.
I go in the sun and walk into a kitchen. These motherfuckers start talking Spanish to me.
That's the thing. I've seen it.
I do not speak Spanish.
I've seen it too. I've seen people talking Spanish to this guy. And I'm standing there like,
I thought.
I'm the Spanish guy. And they're talking Spanish to this dude.
Yeah. I am uber white.
It's because you got the dark hair.
And I tan well.
It's because your family's from Ireland. Right?
England,
somewhere in England.
England, Ireland, Scotland, Poland.
But,
I mean, you're talking like the whitest of the whites.
But somewhere back there,
I mean, hell,
somewhere back there in one of those countries, some Moors came through and fucked some of your goddamn ancestors.
Oh, Garrett, that's how I got the black hair. That's how I got the black hair. Of course.
Do you speak Spanish, Chris?
Oh, so little, it's embarrassing. Almost none. I can fake it.
I speak kitchen Spanish, so I know if something's hot or sharp, or if you're calling me a silly name,
or how to ask for cerveza.
Exactly.
Cerveza. I was gonna say he can speak kitchen Spanish. I can speak restaurant Spanish.
Bar Spanish.
Like dos cervezas, yeah, por favor. Yeah.
Two beers, please.
Two beers.
I will be the Spanish speaking representative of Cinema Crispadita.
There you go.
Sounds good. We need one.
We always need them. We need them for all languages. Racism sucks, y'all. No borders. Everyone should read Cloud Atlas. Okay, go ahead.
And stay out of the comment sections.
Yeah, dude.
Those that know the least know the loudest.
Oh my god. Oh, that's good. I like that.
Lindsay Lemonhead Smith got at us.
What's up, Lindsay?
Have you guys watched The Man in the High Castle yet?
No, not yet.
No, I really haven't.
Have you?
Although, I'll tell you what. Those posters are everywhere in New York,
dude.
Oh my fucking god. It is like the only poster I saw in New York City.
and it's you hear about some of the other marketing they did in New York, like in the subways.
Yes.
And stuff.
No, that's what I'm talking. Yes,
but it's not just movie posters though, right?
Well, no, I
read that it was like Nazi propaganda stuff.
Well, whoa. it's because of the nature of the story.
Right.
The nature of the story is that
the Third Reich,
they won World War II.
Yes. And the country split up into like four or five different countries.
Well, no, exactly.
And the South is like Black America or something.
Exactly.
Shit.
Exactly. And the West Coast is all Japan. So it's nice. Got the Japanese rising sun, but it's in the colors of USA.
Nice.
So it's the red, white, but then they've got like this blue thing on there, and it basically shows the American flag with a swastika.
So it's American flag with a swastika in there.
Yeah.
And they put that shit all everywhere. Over New York City for marketing.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people
freaked the fuck out.
They got pissed off.
Yeah, that's heavy stuff.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're playing with intense images,
and ever since World War II, you can't put a swastika on anything.
No, not without being seen as the hateful bigot that you probably are.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it for marketing, well, what does that say about
or if you know anything about history? I mean, that symbol has been around since before white people.
Yeah,
but that's shock value stuff now, man. That could get you the wrong kind of publicity.
It could, but I think for them. I think any publicity is good because it's an Amazon show. So
because
it's not like you're not seeing commercials.
Nobody
for it on
would
TV.
Even know about this show if they hadn't have done that.
Right.
They'd have been just like, oh, it's some that Nazi show on Amazon. Nobody cares.
They had to because that's the thing. Netflix has broken through, right? So now if Netflix announces we have a show, people are going to check it out.
Well, it's because of that they've done good work. And we've seen that.
They've done good work. They got a track record. Hulu has gotten into it. And with the Transparent show, it's won awards. Now Hulu has a little bit of clout where you can have like a Hulu original content and people might check it out. That's where all these things are going now. So Amazon, they got into it. Amazon Studios. They produced Spike Lee's latest movie. Chirac. And they produced this show. The pilot was directed by Ridley Scott.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that right there is reason enough to at least watch the pilot.
No.
Goddamn Ridley Scott show. And I want to see it, for sure. Just haven't gotten around to it. Because it's on that Amazon, yo.
We got that Amazon Prime? We got that Amazon now.
We got that Amazon now, yo.
All I gotta do is hook it up to that Xbox One.
Oh, shit. All right. Okay, well, we'll watch it soon, Lindsay. And then we'll do a bonus episode, a talking TV bonus episode. Another one of those goes. What did we see, Drew? We got to finish Fargo.
We got to finish Fargo.
We're almost done with that. We got
to
watch
and
finish Evil Dead.
Yes. And we have to start and finish Jessica Jones. I saw the first episode once again. Very good. Episode.
Okay, so I gotta watch that. It's three shows. And then if we do Man from High Castle, that'd be four shows. That'd be good for a bonus episode. Yeah. All right, so we'll do that. 2016. Isn't that crazy? You're already 2016.
Paul Hine got at us.
What's up, Paul?
He says the Hateful Eight score will feature unused music written by Ennio Morricone from John Carpenter's The Thing. Kurt Russell snowed in with Morricone's The Thing. Sounds awesome.
That is excellent. Tarantino got Ennio Morricone, who did the all the spaghetti westerns for Sergio Leone in the '60s, and he's done tons of great music since then. He got him. He wanted him to do the score for Inglourious Basterds because of scheduling conflicts. He couldn't do it. All he could do was contribute one song.
Yeah.
And then the way Tarantino used the song in the movie, Morricone was like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. Like, in the public, he dissed Tarantino. He was like, he misuses music. He doesn't have any sense of it, blah, blah, blah. It's so funny. And Tarantino was like, I don't give a shit what this guy says. I'm going to keep using his music. So he hired him to do the score for The Hateful Eight. This is cool, though, that they have an unused track from The Thing.
Yeah.
Which is, the music sounds like John Carpenter, because it's all just the bass, like, dum, dum.
Yeah.
doom, doom. And then a keyboard. Right? And it's like, oh, it's usually a John Carpenter score, but it's not. It's actually this guy who does all this fucking great music. So it's very cool that you're using that for a movie with Kurt Russell.
Are you saying John Carpenter doesn't make great music?
John Carpenter does make great music, but Ennio Morricone, like, John Carpenter writes cool songs, and Ennio Morricone composes,
yeah,
like, big fucking scores, you know, or he's capable of that anyway. So I'm very excited to see if I can even pick out what song. Like, oh, I bet you this is the Morricone music. I bet you, I'll do that three times in the movie. I'm like, oh, I bet you this was it. Bet you this was it. Thanks, Paul. We appreciate that. Actually, that leads us right into our movie news segment quite perfectly. The Hateful Eight had a change to their release schedule.
Okay.
The original plan on Christmas, they were going to put out in 100 theaters across the country a 70 millimeter roadshow version of The Hateful Eight. What that means, people, is that the movie would be shown on film, on 70 millimeter film, which is gigantic, gigantic film. And it's going to give you the most crisp, clear, amazing, bright image ever. Right, on a gigantic screen. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to announce the 100 theaters a month ago. Mm-hmm. Still haven't announced the theaters. The reason for that is because they couldn't get all the projectors up and running. They couldn't get all the theaters retrofitted. So they just announced a brand new plan. The Weinstein Company, instead of releasing in 100 theaters in 70 millimeter, they're doing 50 theaters in 70 millimeter. And then the other 50 theaters, they'll be showing a digital print.
Okay.
Of the roadshow version. Now, when I say roadshow version, that means this version of The Hateful Eight will have an overture. So there'll be some music playing before the movie starts. Mm-hmm. Then the movie will start. Then it's going to have an intermission.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
So you can get up and walk around and talk to your friends, smoke a cigarette. You can smoke a cigarette. You can talk to people like, oh, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen next? Blah, blah, blah. You know? Then go back in. Second half of the movie starts. And there will also be 6 minutes more footage in the roadshow version. So reason to go see that over your normal version, which is going to come out January 8th, 2 weeks later. So the bad news is that they got cut in half from 170 millimeter screens to 50, right? So that's tough. The good news, to kind of make up for that, instead of the movie coming out nationwide January 8th, they bumped that up 1 week, January 1st.
Nice.
So now you don't have to wait. Most of the country doesn't have to wait 1 week longer.
No.
They'll be seen 1 week earlier. So it's like a good news, bad news type of thing.
Okay.
You know? Us being here in Central Florida, chances are... Well, as of right now, they have announced some of the theaters. As of right now, Drew, the closest theater showing the roadshow version is in Hotlanta.
Mm. Yeah. ATL.
Yeah, so it's a nice 8-hour drive.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
Or like...
Yeah.
2 hours. Or we could take like a... Hour-long flight?
Take an hour-long flight. Mm. I'll be out of town. we were talking of TV. Mr. Robot.
Yes.
Got some Mr. Robot news here.
Great show.
Did you watch Mr. Robot?
I did not watch Mr. Robot.
It's a cool show.
I highly recommend it.
It's a cool show on USA. USA Network. They did the, what was that, like the end of the summer?
Yeah.
Beginning of fall, mm-hmm. Something like that. So it was on a few months ago, and they finished. Rave reviews. People loved it. It's got Christian Slater, which is pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And, but he's not the lead, though. He's like...
He's
a pretty big role. He has a pretty big role, but he's not the lead character. The lead character is this weird-looking dude with bug eyes. He's kind of crazy, but he's good. And it goes to some crazy places, this show. You know, some dark, interesting places, which is why... and it's very relevant to our day and age in terms of society and culture and media and technology and all
everything.
That stuff. I think it's why people really responded well to it. So they announced a while ago, season 2 for sure is happening. But they just announced that every episode of season 2 will be directed by the guy who created the show.
Okay.
Sam Esmail. So this dude, he directed like the pilot... And maybe one or two other episodes in the first season. But season 2, he's doing everything.
Okay.
So it's a lot like Steven Soderbergh with The Nick.
Oh, nice.
Or Corey Fukunaga with True Detective season 1. Both of those shows were done. One person directed every episode. So they're going that route with season 2 of Mr. Robot, which I predict will lead to increased quality.
Hopefully.
It should.
Yeah, it's his baby.
It's his baby. He's in charge of all of it. And... it should add nice coherence. Each episode should just feel like a natural progression.
Or he could pull a Lucas.
He could pull George Lucas, and he could do the show just for himself. And then people are like, what is this? We want the Mr. Roboto season one. He's like, no, this is Mr. Roboto season two. No. That would suck. Yeah. But anyway, we'll find out sometime next year. We'll see. I recommend it.
Awesome.
It's good.
Yeah.
Check it's a good watch.
What was it, like 10 or 11 episodes? So it's not even like a network show where it's like, I'm asking you to watch 22 fucking episodes, you know? Worth it. Definitely worth it. We got here, an update from last week, Drew, sticking with TV. Mm-hmm. Last week we mentioned that they had announced a TV show for Fox. They were working with Fox on a TV show of Rambo New Blood.
Yes.
In which it was going to be Rambo, Sylvester Stallone, and his son. Mm-hmm. And they were like, we got Stallone. So Fox was like, okay, we're listening. Apparently they didn't have Stallone.
Of course not.
Because Stallone's people put out a press release where they did something. They came out and they're like, we have no knowledge of this project. They did not approach us. Mr. Stallone will not be on TV.
Thank God.
The project immediately fell apart. Fox was like, you don't got Stallone, we don't want you. So that Rambo TV show, thank God, is not happening.
Yeah, good. That sounds awful.
It sounded like a terrible idea, didn't it? It sounded like a terrible idea. You know what I thought sounded like a good idea and I liked and it didn't happen was the Beverly Hills Cop TV show that they were going to do.
That could have been weird.
It could have been weird, but it was going to be Axel Foley's son. And they got Brandon T. Jackson, the guy who was Al Pacino in Tropic Thunder. Yeah. He was going to be Axel Foley's son. And Eddie Murphy was going to be, at least in the pilot, as Axel Foley. And he was going to be like the new captain. Like he was going to be the boss. And that his son is the one causing all the problems. And that I thought that could have worked. But then they did a pilot and no one picked it up. And then Amazon even like put the pilot online to see if they could get some interest. And people were like not really into it. So it fell apart, and I think that's a bit of a missed opportunity. Whereas the Rambo show,
awful.
No.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't get to watch much TV. You know, being on the road at the time and
stuff.
Sure. Yeah. But I fell in love with the show Dexter.
Oh yeah.
And I heard rumblings that it may be.
I saw something about that online that they could be bringing it back. But did you like it all the way through? I've heard from so many people who only liked the first like 3 or 4 seasons and then it fell off for them.
When I first watched it, everyone and their mother told me, watch until season 4 and then pretend that it ends.
Oh, really?
So I did that.
Yeah.
And after a month, I was like, I can't. I got to see what happens. And I watched it all the way through. And yeah, there were some seasons that weren't up to par.
Sure.
But I loved the show the whole way through.
But you still liked it.
Loved the ending.
I wonder if maybe it's because then you had diminished expectations. You were expecting those final seasons to not be good.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, maybe that was it. And then you watched it. Like, yeah, what are people talking about? This is fine.
Yeah, actually, yeah, because everyone buried it so much.
People hated it for some reason.
They loathed it and ran it down. But
that's the thing. It's like to get people to hate something so much, they have to love it that much first. That's why when married couples end up hating each other, like... You got to remember that that's as much as they hate each other.
That's how much they
used to love each other. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
That's a real good way to put it.
Yeah. So when people love Dexter and then the show goes the direction they don't want, like fuck this,
I hate it.
I want my Dexter back that I grew up with. Whatever. Hell, Showtime, right?
Yeah.
Hell, Showtime. See, I've never had Showtime ever.
Really
so a lot of Showtime.
Did you watch it? Did you watch Dexter?
I've seen a couple episodes, like random episodes.
Oh. I think I saw the first 2 seasons.
Yeah.
Season 4 is outstanding.
Was that the one with John Lithgow?
Yeah.
That was the one I missed that one.
That's the one. I almost want to just skip to that one just because I love John Lithgow so much.
He
plays such a convincing villain.
Yeah.
Dude.
He's so creepy.
I can't even watch Harry and the Hendersons anymore without being
or Third Rock from the Sun.
What's he going to do next?
I watched the movie Shrek and I close my eyes and listen to Farquaad. And just, oh, I can't.
Good old Go-Go Lithgow. Love that guy. All right, final movie news story here. They're rebooting The Mummy. They've got a new Mummy movie coming out. And even though we just had a Dracula movie like a year or two ago, that Dracula Untold that no one saw.
I unfortunately will never get that time back.
See, I'm sorry.
That was the word. Even though they just did that, that Dracula movie does not count towards the Universal Studios monster movie.
So we're getting another Dracula movie?
Yeah, because they're doing the big reboot that we've talked about where they're going to make a Mummy movie. Dracula. Who else?
Frankenstein, werewolf,
creature from the Black Lagoon. All these characters, they're going to bring them all back, give them all new movies, and then, just like they used to do back in the day in the 40s and 50s and the 30s, they're going to be popping up in each other's movies.
So it's going to be a monster mash?
It's a graveyard smash.
Have you heard anything? Have you heard any of these ramblings, Chris? I read an article somewhere. They were talking about potentially doing like an Avengers type thing with them. Where they're going to start popping up and then they're going to like fight a greater evil or something. I don't know.
I think it might all lead up to another Van Helsing type of thing. Because that's what Van Helsing, he was going up against multiple monsters, right? So they may do a thing now where it all leads up to Van Helsing coming in to take on the Mummy and the Werewolf and Dracula all in one movie. They are building up to all these characters being in each other's movies, and then there's gonna be one movie, probably Van Helsing, where they'll all be Avengers style in one movie together.
Now, have you heard of, like, are these supposed to be horror movies, or are they gonna be more action, sci-fi, kick-ass graphics?
I think they're gonna be closer to
Underworld.
To Underworld, to the Mummy movies that came out 15 years ago with Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
Because there was more action-adventure with a little bit of horror in them. Because they are monsters.
Yeah.
But they're not going to make them like R-rated horror films. They are trying to make a ton of money with this. You know, they're not just trying to make little things. Proof that they are throwing money at this shit and trying to make it big. Rumored to be the hero of the Mummy reboot is Tom Cruise.
Whoa!
Yeah, so that's nobody. Yeah. Going from Brendan Fraser to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that's
come on. Because I love Universal. Universal Studios is my happy place. I've worked there for over 10 years, but I was very disappointed with their Benicio del Toro Wolfman.
That was a bummer. So sad. That's because that had backstage production issues, right? They had Mark Romanek, the guy who did 1 Hour Photo, and an amazing music video director. He was doing Wolfman. He was developing it all the way up until like 2 months before they were scheduled to shoot. And then he dropped out with creative differences, that whole gambit. And then they brought in Joe Johnston, who's a journeyman. He's been around forever. He's a Spielberg guy. He did The Rocketeer in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
His most recent movie was Captain America, The First Avenger, the first Captain America movie, the war one. So he's a good director, but they needed someone to come in and pick up where the last guy left off. And, you know, try just carry the ball to the finish line. So he showed up and he was doing his thing, but it didn't mesh too well with Romanek stuff. Rick Baker was doing the special effects. Yeah. But then when Joe Johnston came on, he was like, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of CG here. And they kind of pushed Rick Baker out. And that kind of led to Rick Baker leaving the film industry because he's kind of announced his retirement recently.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things where he was like, felt like he was being disrespected by some younger people, and you know, he's been pushed aside for CG. It's like, well, I don't need this shit. I'm Rick fucking Baker.
Yeah, you know, he's the man.
Yeah, I'm a legend.
Ricky Baker, Monster Maker.
So yeah, that movie had great potential, an amazing cast. I love the score. The score is so good. But yeah, it's a bit of a bummer. It just didn't turn out good at all.
It made me so sad because I was so...
Everything about it was looking good. Benicio del Toro, you know, and it's a Wolfman movie, but it's set in the 30s, and it's like, this could be dark and creepy, and Emily Blunt's in it. And
I was I was in the house for it that year for Halloween Horror Nights.
Okay.
I was the asylum director with the big leather gloves. Yeah. So.
It's awesome.
I had a special place for that movie. But
we're like, check out how this man changes. Well, they also have, it looks like they also found their mummy. Universal did. They found their mummy, and they are going with an interesting choice. I think a lot of those PC people might be flipping out just a little bit. Not necessarily going to think about color, because the mummy, what color? Yes, he's Egyptian?
Egyptian, yes. So he'd be he'd be Middle Eastern or black.
I mean, he's wrapped
because
up in bandages.
Because technically he's in Africa.
He's a rotten corpse wrapped up in bandages. I don't think he's not any race anymore, right? No, it's not even he. It's a she.
Okay.
A lady mummy.
So?
The lady mummy is going to be played by Sophia Boutella. I know you don't know the name. It's cool. You will know the name, though. Sophia Boutella is the chick who was the Blade Feet girl in Kingsman the Secret Service.
Yes.
Yes. Have you seen Kingsman the Secret Service?
Yes, I have, yeah.
Love that
fucking
movie.
Fucking movie's awesome.
The chick with the Blade Feet.
That's the mummy?
Yeah, she's going to be the mummy.
Whoa, now we're going to stay away from the comment section about that. Now
yeah,
people are bitching about it being a female mummy.
Exactly. People are like, mummy can't be a woman, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, people. Yes, she can. And I think it's going to be very interesting, which means then if she's already... She can do all the stuff that she did in that movie. She's a very athletic person.
Yeah.
What are they expecting the mummy to be able to do? Like, what direction are they going to take it? And it's going to be her versus Tom Cruise? This is gonna it's gonna be a lot of running going on and a lot of flipping. And
I wonder if it has any correlation with they just revamped the Beetlejuice show at the Universal Park.
That's right, the music review, right?
Yep.
Didn't they just stop doing that?
Oh, they haven't stopped it yet.
Okay,
but they're going to. But the mummy's female in it now too. So
interesting.
There you go. They know what's
Phantom
on Universal.
Phantom of the Opera is female in it too. It's his daughter.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I'll take that. You know what? I'll go see this mummy movie. With those two people cast at this point, I'll go see it. Good enough for me. All right, that's it for the movie news. Let's get into the end of the show wrap-up, which means it's time for the lightning round, which means it's time for the lightning round theme.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Simon, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Drew, start the clock.
Go.
Number one, if up is down, then black is...
white.
Number two, how many hot dogs could you eat in one sitting?
Oof, 5 or 6.
I need an answer.
6.
Okay. Here are 6 hot dogs. Number three, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Number four, breakfast for dinner or dessert for lunch?
Dessert for lunch.
Number five, what is fire?
Hot.
Number six, what is the furthest away you've ever been from home?
Colombia. Medellin, Colombia.
From, and where were you living at the time?
I was living in Connecticut, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Oh, damn, that's far. That is very far. Number seven, have you ever played tennis?
I have.
All right, number eight, what is your favorite U.S. state?
Texas.
Interesting. Number nine, what is the meaning of life in 5 words or less?
To be happy, to enjoy your life.
Oh, that's 6 words.
To enjoy yourself thoroughly forever.
I'll take it.
Forever's a long time, man.
And thoroughly, too. Thoroughly forever. Number 10. You ready?
Yes.
What number am I thinking of?
6.
Oh, so close, Drew. What did I write there?
Oh, the number was 7.
Oh, ah! So close. All right, Simon. End of the show means you got to take home some swag. Drew, show him the 4 swag bags. Simon, you got to choose. Do you want this stripey one? Do you want that red one? Do you want that other stripey one? Do you want the white one with the polka dots? Pick a bag.
I'll take the green stripey one.
We'll take the one at the end here. Drew, please break out the bag. Show Simon what he may get to take home today.
Sir, you may get to take home a Star Wars 4-piece puzzle pack. Woo! Featuring Yoda, Stormtrooper, Luke, and Darth Vader.
4 separate puzzles there. There awesome. You go.
We've also got the Jokes and Gags Minty Fresh Squirt Gum.
Squirt gum? Offer someone gum? Then squirt them in the face and be like, fuck you.
We've got sticks. You a wrist bandit that has the word courage on it because courage. Apparently courage.
You gotta have courage to be a pro wrestler.
We've got you a Marvel 500 Series 1 tiny little man thing.
It's a mystery. Nice. You gotta open it up to find out who's inside. Could be anyone.
We've got you a Cinema Crispediso Edition bootleg copy of The Perfect Storm.
Nice.
2 hours and 9 minutes.
Starring aforementioned Batman George Clooney.
And
I can't believe you missed that one.
Also, man. A bunch of Cinema Crispediso stickers.
And a bunch of stickers are in there as well. Sir, all of these can be yours, but we are putting them back in the bag because now you have to make a decision. Do you want to take all that stuff home, or would you take what Drusick Cogburn has in the box right over here?
I don't know. It's a pretty sweet.
It's a pretty sweet bag. Box? It's a pretty sweet bag, but now you got a box. Who knows what's
in
the box?
You never know what's in the box.
You don't know what's in the box, but you know what's in the bag for sure.
Let's take the box.
We're going with the box. Every here we go. Time. Everyone wants the box, Drew. Go ahead. Pop the top. Simon, reach in.
What do we got? Garbage Pail Kids.
Back of Garbage Pail Kids trading cards. There you go.
Awesome.
We all remember the Garbage Pail Kids. They're gross little drawings of
and
disgusting
they're new
babies.
Now. They've come back.
Yeah, they're new.
They are.
They're brand new.
So yeah, 2015 stickers.
2015 stickers. So there you go. You're going to take home those, and we'll definitely throw you a whole bunch of stickers.
Awesome.
Cinema Crispy Show stickers. So, Simon, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys very, very much. Huge fan of the show, and this won't be hopefully my last time here.
No, I don't think so.
Not at all. I'll be pimping it on all my Facebook pages and Simon Time Trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And making Cinema Crispediso an official sponsor of the Simon Time Trivia Show.
Sounds good to me. Drusick Cogburn, thank you.
You're very welcome, sir.
Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Remember to support R-rated movies. Break up the big banks because they suck. Feel the burn. Bernie Sanders 2016. Read more books and be excellent to each other. We are out of here.